Well, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Today we might actually finish our Israel review tour, whatever you want to call it. I think we're close. We might have to do either 2 or 3 days. I forget where we left off, but I'm still trying to get the audio and the video and all of that together from everybody else. And of course, as I've said, the plan is to try to stitch all that together. It's going to be really long because, you know, I'm not going to edit it. I'm just going to let Moshe talk and then try to overlay some video of whatever he's talking about at the time. It's going to be quite a project, and I don't know. I don't have much. Last time I checked, there wasn't everything up there yet.
Right.
So we're probably going to have to poke at people and let everybody know what we're trying to accomplish. Because, I mean, I hate to admit it, but, I mean, every day that goes by, it gets foggier and foggier. And that's a shame because, you know, Moshe really did have a lot of little tidbits that were, like, really cool, you know, because from his perspective as just his perspective and it just added a lot to some of the understanding of the Bible. And obviously this overview that we've been doing is not nearly complete by a long shot. So anyway, today we'll try to finish that overview. I don't know if we will or not, but we'll be close. And then we'll get back to our red letter series maybe next week or the week after. So. But before we get into that, as I've done previous weeks, I want to give at least a little something for us to chew on, a little extra to think about today. And as I thought about, you know, what it might be, what I might cover today, I realized that, you know, Father's Day's tomorrow, so my thoughts started kind of heading in that direction. And, you know, my personal opinion is, you know, I think Father's Day is a good thing, I guess, you know, it's... My family knows I'm not real big into, like, birthdays and all that kind of thing. But, you know, giving honor to fathers is appropriate, assuming, of course, that they are honorable, because I believe there is a vast difference in fathering a child and being a father. You know, some put it that, just about anybody can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. And all of us have fathers, and not all of us have had the opportunity to have a dad. So if you've been blessed to have a dad and he's still with us, then by all means show your appreciation. Unfortunately, they are becoming more and more rare in today's society. Father's Day for me has always been somewhat, not always, but in the last almost 30 years, very bittersweet. I love being a dad, and that part of it is great. But it's also a yearly reminder for me of, you know, missing my dad and thinking about everything that my children have missed by him not being in their lives. And I miss him. So there's a balancing act that kind of goes on in my head, and I'm sure that's not something that's unique to me. On one hand, I know that if my dad was here as his child, I would want to honor him, take the time to thank him for being a dad. So I know that my kids, you know, want to do the same, and so I embrace that, and it's good. But on the other hand, there's another part of me that kind of resists this whole thing because of all this hoopla and thanks for really just doing what is, after all, my responsibility in being a father. So, you know, to me, being a dad is one of the greatest privileges of my life. It's the source of some of the greatest blessings in my life. And so being a dad is really an honor in and of itself. That's the gift to me. That's the reward. So to me, when Father's Day comes around, it's it's a time of celebration of both sides of that relationship. So really all I ever want is just my kids to be around so that we can, you know, enjoy that. You know, because that's what's precious. The relationship that is there. And so that got me thinking about how it is that God reveals Himself as Father. He calls Himself Father. And what insight can we get by thinking about why it is that He calls Himself Father? What does the Bible teach us about the concept of being a father? And you know, there's a lot that has been discussed about this. There's articles, you know, written. There's, you know, umpteen sermons over the years, probably around every Father's Day. It's not a unique topic to us here this morning, but I wanted to just kind of see if God might put something on my mind around these questions this week. And so as I thought about it and read through some scripture, I did get an interesting kind of broadening of the concept of fatherhood as it relates to our relationship with God. And I think it's worth our time here this morning to share it with you. We all know that the word father, generally, when we hear that, it refers to a male parent. We think of a father as someone that has physically originated the process of a child being born. But the concept of that word father can also be much more general than just referring to the origination of a child. It can be very general as originating or establishing just about anything. And as I thought about it, really the best example I could think of here in KU country is James Naismith. James Naismith is credited as being the father of basketball. Why? Because he created the game. He originated the game. Another example might be Henry Ford. He's considered the father of the assembly line. And you might be able to think of other examples. There's many. In the Bible, we have Abraham, who's considered the father of the faithful. Why? Because all the promises that come to those that are faithful come through Abraham. You can read in Genesis, there was a man that was called the father of living in tents, and another guy that was the father of the flute, I think, and the harp. So one really being the father of a new way of dwelling, new housing, another father of music in that sense. So this idea that father is an originator, it's really an important one. And it's the pivot point that got me thinking. Because, guys, it's not always positive. In John 8, Yeshua is addressing the Pharisees. And he was responding to the Pharisees' claim that Abraham was their father. You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were claiming that lineage, and they were saying that because of that, they had, you know, certain status, right? But then Yeshua responded to them this way. He said to them, "No, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, Yeshua was not saying that the devil fathered them physically, that that's their lineage. No. He was saying that they were following the devil, that the things that the devil had originated, that they were a part of it. And so he said, "You are of your father, the devil." In other words, they were like him. the devil had originated or fathered the evil attitudes and character and behavior that they were living. And that hit me. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? The idea that things are fathered in us. And it is not limited to just the physical fathering of a child. In fact, what is here that's most important is the fact that the Pharisees had this physical lineage, but the fact that they were actually allowing themselves to be fathered by the devil because they were reflecting him rather than Abraham. And that becomes crystal clear as we look at more of this section. I'm going to back up a little bit and let you see what happened, what he said right here before verse 44. In 41, you know, Yeshua is speaking here. He says, "You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "Well, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God." This is where they're claiming that's the lineage. But Yeshua has said to them, "Look, guys, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil," as we read. Yeshua makes it very plain that while they had the lineage of Abraham, that by far did not make God their father. Their character, how they behaved, what they did, was not fathered by God, but rather by the devil. And therefore, Yeshua says, "You are of your father, the devil." And this hit me because I could relate to this even on a physical level. Now, most of you know that I was adopted on my father's side. Mom's my physical mother. But the one that I refer to as Dad, the one that I referred to in the beginning that I wish was still here for me to honor tomorrow, is not my paternal father. In fact, I've never met him. But I take my dad's name because he adopted me. But nevertheless, I am of my father, Robert Francis Robinson. Even though he's not my paternal father, I am of my father. I was fathered by him, and I reflect in many ways his values, his teaching, and his example. I am who I am today. Not completely, but in large parts, because of him. And I don't know, I've never met the other guy. I may or may not reflect any of the personal resemblance to my paternal father. I don't know. Like I said, I never met him. But you see, those things don't make me, have not shaped me, have not made me who I am. My dad did. Right? And so I want to give another example of this, and I hope Sherilyn doesn't mind, because I think it's even more striking than my own. Sherilyn's paternal father may have originated the physical events that caused her birth, but she does not resemble him in the least. She was not fathered by him any more than my paternal father that I've never met fathered me. He's not a dad. Early on when I met Sherilyn and was falling in love with her, went and met her parents, and I was astonished at how this person that I had already come to know, like I said, was falling in love with, came from this environment. How did it happen? Because she did have a dad. She did have a dad. See, God called Sherilyn at a very, very early age, right in the midst of that environment. And God became her father in those tender formative years. She has lamented to me many times that she did not know what it was like to have a good father. But I submit that I think in many ways, she knows better than all of us what a good father is. Because she had and still has the best daddy in the universe. She is not of her paternal father, but she is of her heavenly father. Now, how can I say that with such surety? Well, look at verse 42. Yeshua said that if God was her daddy, that she would love Yeshua. And her love for God is and always has been an inspiration to me. So when we begin to see this concept of Father as the originator, as the source, then these kind of scriptures start to make sense. And it begs the question of us this morning. How are you being fathered? What example are you following? What are you allowing to be sown into you? What are you submitting yourself to? See, the father is the head of the household, isn't he? Supposed to be. And then in our role, and we guide and we direct. And as children, we have to submit to that. But with this relationship with our Heavenly Father, we, all of us, see, our children. You know, and so... What are we allowing? Who are we allowing to sow into our lives? See, children, you know, fathers sow into the lives of their children, good or bad. You know, here's another example. We learned last week that this fruitcake in Orlando that went in and shot up the nightclub killed all of those people. That killed all of those people. His father was Muslim, was in himself semi-radicalized, and had infused much of those attitudes into that young man. And then he became of his father. Now, what if this man had been called and allowed himself instead to be fathered by the true God? Like Sherilyn did. You know, those things wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have done it. He would have begun instead to reflect the values and character of that father rather than the other one. Now, maybe that's an extreme example, but this is what God does if we let Him. We have a choice whether or not we submit to God as Father. If we do, He will sow into our lives. And He will originate in us His Spirit, His ways, His love in us. You get that? See, as Father being as originator, like that concept, if we will submit to Him, He will originate Himself in us. He will put His Spirit in us. He will father us if we let Him. And this whole concept of fatherhood is all about relationship. Relationship. That's the joy of having a dad. It's the joy of being a dad. And that's why on Father's Day, that's what I said. Oh, that's all I want. I just want to have my kids around. Enjoy the relationship. And that's what God wants too. And I will say that the reward of fatherhood is seeing the fruit of what you have sown into your children. And God's no different. See? As a physical father, the chief responsibility that we have is to direct those children to a relationship with their father. We are to model that to them. And then we are to direct them in that path. And at the same time that we're modeling it, we also have to be humble enough to be able to admit our faults so that we can guide them and push them to their perfect Father. The greatest joy in fatherhood is seeing your kids flourish in their own relationship with their eternal Heavenly Father. And that's an opportunity that was opened up to us by the sacrifice of Yeshua. You know, we know that that veil was torn in two when Christ died. And therefore we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Matthew and the other Gospels tell us the veil was torn in two. We know the veil was the divider to the Holy of Holies and the throne of the Father. And we read in Hebrews right here that we can come boldly to that throne of grace and enjoy a relationship with Him. And you know, we need to appreciate that, because it hasn't always been the case. You know, I read a few years ago, there was a German scholar, I forget his name, he was doing research in the New Testament and in literature and Judaism, and he discovered in all the books of the Old Testament, in all the extra biblical writings of Judaism, and this from the very beginning of it clear up to the 10th century, there is not a single reference to a Jewish person addressing God directly in the first person as Father. I mean, they had all sorts of other names that they memorized for various applications, but never Father. The very first Jewish rabbi to ever address God as Father was Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth. And it was radical. It was a radical departure from tradition. In every recorded prayer we have from the lips of Yeshua, except for maybe one, Yeshua calls God Father. It was for that reason that many of Yeshua's enemies sought to destroy Him, because He presumed to have this intimate, personal relationship with the sovereign God of heaven and the Creator of all things. And He dared to speak to Him in this intimate manner, as in the same terms with God. What's even more radical when you think about that? You know, that He did that. Guess what He tells us? Luke 11:2. This is Yeshua speaking. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven.'" He told us to address God as Father. This wasn't done before. Christ's sacrifice opened up this personal relationship wherein God could be our Father. We don't call Him Father just in the sense that He created us and this universe. We call Him Father for Him to be our guide, our example, the one that we look up to, the one that we follow and we emulate. And that's what I realized this week, that the Scripture clearly reveals. You see, that the concept of fatherhood is not just the idea of originating life, but clearly it is about originating character and responsibility. It's about sowing into another life the way to do life. Right? John 8, I showed you this. To get you to fully realize that spiritually, we choose our Father. You can be fathered by the devil, or you can be fathered by God. The sacrifice of Christ allows us to come to God as Father. It's a relationship. And what an awesome thing it is to have the opportunity to be fathered by the Creator of the universe, for Him to be your daddy. Yes, He creates us, but He also wants to father us. We are His children, and He wants us to be, and He wants to be our daddy. Notice here in verse 15, we don't claim God as Father through birth, but rather adoption. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Just like I experienced in my life, a real father is not about the physical origination, but rather what is fathered in you that makes you you. And that intimacy is what creates the relationship. And note also that it says Abba, Father. Now, we've covered that before. Remember that Abba is Aramaic, and it is referred to as being the closest, most intimate reference to Father. In our language, it's like saying daddy. See, somebody can be listed on a birth certificate as father. You ever look at a birth certificate? It's a father and it says mother. You can be listed on the birth certificate as father. But daddy on a child's heart is the father, right? That's the Abba, Father. And it's what God wants to be for us. And God wants to be our daddy. God will be your daddy if you let Him. It's all about that relationship. Because God is creating a family. So if we continue here in Romans, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs." And look what makes us children. The Spirit Himself bears witness, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It is the Spirit of God. Just like the Spirit of God came to Mary, right? And gave us Christ. The Spirit of God comes in us and we are begotten of God. That is what makes us become His children. He wants to bring His children into His eternal family. So I just say again, how will you choose to be fathered? With whom will you align and be willing to come under the household? To whom will you be disciplined and guided? And guys, that's a huge reason why we must demand obedience and discipline from our children as they grow. Why? So that they are prepared to have that relationship with God. If they're allowed to be rebellious to their parents, they will grow up thinking they can be rebellious to God and get away with it. It sets them up for failure, and it should not be. And it's one of the most terrible things you can do with your children. Fatherhood is a tremendous responsibility, but when approached correctly and done with the purpose of preparing them for an Abba relationship with their Heavenly Father, it's one of the greatest blessings there is in this life. And it is certainly worth celebrating. So tomorrow, I'm looking forward to having my kids around here. I love hearing the terms of endearment like dad and daddy and paps and papi-san and daddy-o and all the others. But really the greatest joy that one can have and that I have as a dad is when I see my kids growing, fostering, and enjoying a relationship with their Heavenly Father, and seeing them continue to be molded and nurtured by Him. I want to wish all the dads Happy Father's Day. And during the day, let's all remember to also be grateful for our Heavenly Daddy and to give Him honor and thanks to Him on that day as well. And let's also remember to pray for this world, for mankind, to soon have the reality also of having our Heavenly Father be their Abba Father as well. Amen.